This is 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV for August 10th, 2020. I'm Derek Gilbert. Before we start today, breaking news as we're recording this on Monday. The Prime Minister and the Cabinet, essentially the entire government of Lebanon, has resigned in the wake of the tragic explosion in Beirut last week. The Prime Minister's statement said he wants to fight for change alongside the people. It's probably better to be the one throwing rocks instead of the one at whom the rocks are being thrown, but we'll have more on that story tomorrow. Now, topic number 5 today, executive orders. Top Democrat lawmakers took aim at the White House on Sunday, criticizing the executive orders issued by President Trump over the weekend, offering more help to Americans affected by the COVID-19 pandemic, calling the measures ineffective and possibly unconstitutional. These executive orders include an extension of unemployment benefits at a reduced rate, an eviction moratorium, a student loan repayment freeze, and a suspension of the payroll tax. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi called the measures illusions. The action reduces the federal enhancement for unemployment compensation from $600 to $400 per week. State government's responsible for 25% of that. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said the White House had offered to continue the $600 payments for a week while Republicans and Democrats negotiated over a stimulus package, but Democrats turned them down, trying to compel the White House to go along with a package much larger than the one Republicans want. Administration officials also defended the legality of the executive orders, which Republican Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska and Speaker Pelosi described as unconstitutional. Maybe. Here's the thing. This is a case of be careful what you wish for. Back in June, the Supreme Court ruled 5-4 to uphold President Obama's executive order on so-called DREAMers. This was his Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, or DACA, which protected from deportation about 650,000 unauthorized immigrants, illegal immigrants in the U.S., brought into the country as minors by their parents. They're now mainly in their 20s and 30s. Now, President Obama issued that as an executive order. That's essentially a decree signed by the president. The executive order was originally intended just to guide how the executive branch of government was run, not to issue new law, which is essentially what DACA did. It changed immigration law without a vote of Congress. Now, the Supreme Court upheld it on a 5-4 vote, with alleged conservative Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts siding with the four liberal members of the court, casting the deciding vote. Now, John Yoo, who was an administration official under George W. Bush and is now a law professor at the University of California, Berkeley, said the Supreme Court, and I'm quoting now, has just laid out a roadmap for how not just President Trump, but future presidents could enforce their own policies just by not enforcing the immigration laws. And it doesn't apply to just immigration law either, which is the whole point here. In an interview, Mr. Yoo said the high court's majority upheld President Obama's right not to enforce immigration law. Therefore, other presidents should be able to take similar actions in other policy areas. If President Trump doesn't want to enforce, say, the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, the Supreme Court has just given him a legal precedent to do so. According to Mr. Yoo, if you just take DACA out and replace it with skills-based immigration or replace it with taxes, the court's opinion should apply outside the narrow case of DACA. Otherwise, it's not really an opinion founded on the law. It's founded on politics, end quote. Mr. Yoo said President Trump could use the concept to declare, for example, a national right to carry firearms. Now, whether you agree or disagree with what the president, with President Trump's executive orders over the weekend, the bigger issue here is, should a president of the United States, under our constitutional form of government, have the power to just simply create law with the stroke of a pen? I say no. This is a bad precedent that has been set. The ruling by the Supreme Court in June was a bad one. Regardless of how you feel about DACA, giving the president that much power to change law through executive order by simply choosing not to enforce laws passed by Congress turns the president into a king. Topic number 4, another night, another riot, 73rd straight night of protests in Portland, declared riots again by police. This is resulted in a fire being set in a police union building, not the first time that building has been set on fire. Wasn't this supposed to stop Mayor Ted Wheeler when federal agents left Portland? And meanwhile, in Chicago, what appeared to have been a widespread coordinated attack, dozens of stores, banks, and other businesses were broken into and looted across downtown Chicago overnight. Began Sunday night, looting spread from the Loop up to the near north side, took place along the so-called Magnificent Mile, Michigan Avenue, prime shopping area, high-end stores. Started around 11 p.m. Sunday, continued into Monday morning. Former Chicago Bears player Patrick Manley witnessed the looting from his high-rise condo, said he saw cars driving up to a U-Haul truck and putting stolen goods into the trailer. Witnesses described the vandalism and looting as a coordinated effort with multiple cars dropping off groups of people who then would engage in smash and grab, well, theft, and then they would take off running in different directions when police arrived. Brad Edwards, a reporter for CBS affiliate Channel 2 in Chicago, tweeted that his sources in the Chicago Police Department said the Magnificent Mile, North Michigan Avenue, became a citywide 10-1 call, officer assistance. Basically, wherever you are in the city of Chicago, if you're a police officer, drop what you're doing and come help. This is very rare. Chicago Police Department Superintendent David Brown said Monday that more than 400 officers were deployed into the downtown area after officers were notified of social media posts, essentially creating a flash mob to loot the Loop and other shopping areas nearby. More than 100 people arrested, 13 police officers were hurt. The failure to keep this kind of criminal activity under control and sort of brushing it aside as peaceful protests because of racial injustice. This is going to have real-world consequences. As I mentioned this before, and the story has popped up again, trucking companies are beginning to say they're not going to deliver goods to cities where the police are being defunded. Truck driving is already one of the two most dangerous professions in America. This is according to Fox Business. And 79% of drivers surveyed said they will not deliver in cities without a police force. Portland, Seattle, Minneapolis, good luck getting your groceries. And then there's the matter of insurance. It's an open question as to whether haulers will even take cargo to places if they can't be insured. Will they be able to get cargo, liability, fiscal damage insurance in cities with dismantled police forces? Or will they have to pay a higher premium to deliver, like when they ship to Mexico or Canada? And of course, those costs will be passed on to consumers. Topic number three, COVID-19. Legal experts weighing in on the authority of government to compel citizens to take a vaccine. And at least one legal expert, and I'm sure there are many others, say that yes, they do. Dove Fox, law professor at the Center for Health Law Policy and Bioethics at the University of San Diego, says a legal precedent dating back to 1905 when the Supreme Court ruled that the state of Massachusetts, in the case Jacobson v. Massachusetts, had the right and the power to compel its citizens to take a smallpox vaccine. That case formed the legal basis for vaccine requirements at schools, and it's been upheld in subsequent decisions. Another story, widely reported last week, that a 7-year-old boy became the youngest in the country to die from COVID-19. This took place in Chatham County, Georgia, near Savannah. Virtually all the media reported the story and claimed that the child had no underlying conditions, just dropped dead from the coronavirus. However, television station in Savannah actually reported a little more detail, which calls into question the diagnosis here. And by the way, the story used to justify keeping schools closed, canceling fall football, et cetera, et cetera. According to the Chatham County coroner, however, the child had a seizure and fell in the shower, hit his head. Now, not to minimize the tragedy, this is a tragic loss. I cannot imagine the pain of a parent whose 7-year-old boy suddenly and unexpectedly dies, but he had no symptoms. It wasn't until he was in the ER and they did an on-site test, a rapid scan, and found that he had coronavirus antibodies, that it was determined that his death was from COVID-19. Still unknown, according to the coroner, exactly what killed the child. And in New York City, an immunocompromised New York City councilman who underplayed the severity of his coronavirus diagnosis in April now says it was much more severe than he let on at the time, and that hydroxychloroquine saved his life. Paul Vallone, who's a Democrat, serves on New York City's council representing Queens, said he took the drug along with a Z-Pak and drastically improved within days. So according to Mr. Vallone, quote, I guess all those doctors prescribing it are right. The drug is already on the market and the patent is up, so it's cheap. A new drug won't be. So big money does not want this drug to be used. Always follow the money, end quote. He posted that to Facebook on May 12th. In the comments below his post, he added, quote, it saved my life, end quote. Topic number two, the pedo troll. Toymaker Hasbro has announced it's going to pull a new doll from its line of trolls from stores after an uproar and petition drive because parents discovered a button located on the doll's privates area that, when pushed, caused the doll to squeal and giggle with delight. There were parents who accused the toy maker of putting out a doll that has essentially groomed children for sexual abuse. It's good that Hasbro's pulling the doll, but you've got to wonder, how did this make it to market in the first place? Coming up, what could be the stupidest lawsuit ever? That's next on 5 and 10.
COVID-19 has changed everything. Because of the coronavirus, we can't bring the sold-out Defender Conference to Branson this year. So we decided, if we can't bring the conference to Branson, we'll bring it to you instead. SkyWatch TV's 2020 Defender Conference is going virtual. If you thought you were going to miss out because you couldn't travel to Branson this year, or because the conference sold out too quickly, now see and hear world-class speakers, cutting-edge presentations in the comfort of your own home. And to make it better, we're adding new speakers, like Steve Quayle and New York Times best-selling author Joel Richardson. And don't miss what Tom Horn says will be his last conference presentation ever. Plus, we'll add all of the presentations from the 2019 Defender Conference, so you're getting two conferences for the price of one. Sign up now, SkyWatch TV's 2020 Defender Conference. Virtual, but bigger than ever. It goes live August 27th, 2020. For information and registration, log on to DefenderConference.com. That's DefenderConference.com.
Topic number one, the lawsuit wants the city to pay for the protest. Five members of Black Lives Matter have filed a suit against the city of Seattle, saying the Seattle Police Department's crowd control techniques have required them to purchase expensive protective gear, which essentially prices them out of practicing their First Amendment rights. You heard me correctly. Their First Amendment rights have been violated because they need protective gear to protect them against tear gas, pepper spray, and rubber bullets. Maybe don't protest quite so vigorously. The five women were involved in the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, the CHAZ or the CHOP, whatever they finally ended up calling it. They claim that, quoting now, systemic racism and police brutality against people of color has made it impossible to exercise their right to gather and protest without personal protective gear, which isn't cheap. Because protesters now must purchase expensive equipment to be assured they will be able to protest safely, the indiscriminate use of weapons by SPD, Seattle Police Department, implicates equal protection, end quote. The suit alleges that it's necessary to purchase helmets, gas masks, protective clothing, goggles, gloves, boots, umbrellas, and other similar gear, and argues that the necessity of the equipment places an undue burden on those practicing their First Amendment rights. Come quickly, Lord. The sad thing is, in Washington State, we can't be sure that the judge will toss this case out of court. Well, come next spring, we pray that this pandemic is past us and the world returns somewhat to normality, because we are looking forward to returning to the Holy Land and taking you on a tour of Israel that will make the Bible come alive. Archaeology, the stones, in a figurative sense, are crying out, and we'll show you places that other tours just will not. Gilgal Rephaim, the newly recognized serpent mound of Bashan. Of course, we'll see Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, We'll go to Masada, and we will ascend to the Temple Mount. But then archaeological sites, like the fortress of Sisera, you know, the Canaanite general got the tent peg, the altar of Joshua, Shiloh, Bethel, and others. For complete information, sample itinerary, costs, etc., log on to skywatchinisrael.com. That's skywatchinisrael.com. This week on Skywatch TV, we talk about common foods that could be harming you. Co-authors of the book Time Bomb, Joe Artis Horn and Allie Anderson Henson, joined by Dr. Joshua Vance as we discuss, well, your body, your temple, to him, is hard to serve if you don't feel well. You'll find our over-the-air broadcast schedule posted online, skywatchtv.com/channels, or just add the Skywatch TV channel to Roku, Apple TV, or Amazon Fire TV, and we'll broadcast whenever it's convenient for you. Or download the free mobile app. The Skywatch TV mobile app, Skywatch TV mobile app, that is good for iOS and Android devices and Amazon Kindle Fire tablets. And besides all of our video and audio programs, the podcast is there as well. Schedule of upcoming events featuring Skywatch TV personnel and news the mainstream media wants you to miss. Again, iOS, Android, Amazon Kindle Fire tablets, and we've got links to those app stores at skywatchtv.com. You'll find all of our stuff online at gilberthouse.org as well as at skywatchtv.com. Gilberthouse.org features a link to our weekly Bible study. Sharon and I upload that every Sunday midday. Also has a link to my podcast, which this week features an interview with author Lars Walker. Describes himself as an ex-Viking. He writes Christian historical fiction set in the Viking Age, but also some stories written recently that 20 years ago saw where America was going to be today. I think with that lawsuit story, we finally just now have caught up to where Lars Walker thought we would be in his novel Wolf Time. You'll hear that interview, and again, it's linked at gilberthouse.org. Thank you for watching as we keep watch. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV.